The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a central doctrine of the Christian faith. A Christian is one who grounds his or her faith in this doctrine, that Christ died, but he also rose again on the third day. If you do not believe in the physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. That's how essential this doctrine is. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't some make-believe story. He came back from the dead, had a physical body, glorified, but it was a real body. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." The importance of the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, the risen King, is seen in each of the Gospels. There's variations in Gospels. There's different emphases by the various writers of the Gospels. But all four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of them contain detailed description of Christ's resurrection. So when we come together to worship this day, it's not just worshiping a story that occurred a long time ago. It's not remembering some nice little tidbits that somebody wrote down and said, "Well, you know, if you're feeling low today, I'm going to pick you up with this real positive message. This will make you feel happy." The account of Christ's resurrection is revealed to us in God's Word. It's the truth. It's not a story made up. It's not something just to make us happy in this therapeutic age. But it is the truth. The truth that you base your entire relationship with God on. A truth that is absolutely essential for you to believe if you want to go to heaven. In Matthew 28:5-7, we read, "But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay.'" Mark 16:6, "And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him.'" Luke 24:5-7. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And we have here in John, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved," that would be the disciple John, who wrote this gospel, "and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the cloths, linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed." There was a story being circulated at that time that Jesus' disciples stole his body, or that other grave robbers, which was fairly common in that time, other grave robbers stole the body of Jesus. Well, if you look closely at the text, what grave robber would steal Jesus and leave all of his linens behind? He'd just scoop up everything and go. So this struck the disciples as, wait a minute, he's not here. Where's his body? All the linens, even the face cloth, which is like a turban, separated from the other cloths, and the 75 pounds of herbs and spices that they used to anoint his body, they're all there. Where's the body? What's interesting, in verse 8 of chapter 20 of John, then the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and this little phrase, and he believed. He was the first one to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw and he believed. Mary Magdalene didn't believe. The disciples, they didn't believe. But John did. God was gracious in giving him understanding of what took place. So I wanted to list these passages of Scripture so that when you're talking with people about what today is all about and Christ's death and resurrection, you have the truth as your foundation to build on. Because there'll be all kind of theories and ideas about his crucifixion and, you know, that he didn't really die. He just swooned. He really wasn't raised from the dead. It was a ghost. We want to make sure the truth is proclaimed. And that's why I took the time here. Referring again to the Apostle Paul, he gives evidence that Christ rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3-9, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in according with the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, Jesus appeared also to me, Paul. There's eyewitnesses. There's the scriptural accounts. There is truth to ground your faith in, to rest upon. I'm grateful for Dr. James Montgomery Boyce for writing his 5-volume commentary on the Gospel of John. He has some interesting points. But he makes this point about the first disciple to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ was John. For some reason, I had missed that in the past and thought that everybody disbelieved in Christ, but that's not true. All the other disciples and followers, such as Mary Magdalene, they were grief-stricken by what had taken place. They were disillusioned. They were defeated. Boyce goes on to say their faith died when Jesus died. Their hope that he would come and redeem Israel vanished when he was crucified. All of this was done. It was finished. But we read in the Scriptures, John, he starts with Mary Magdalene visiting the tomb in verses 1 and 2. Peter and John come later. And after seeing the burial clothes, they went back home. point I want to make here is that the early church, the disciples, were disillusioned and lost faith when Jesus died. Peter and John went. Well, first it was Mary and some women that went. And then she ran and reported to Peter and John that somebody had taken the body of Jesus. Peter and John ran to the tomb, leaving Mary in the dust. They go in, just as I have read. Then they leave. Mary comes back. She stands outside the tomb, weeping. And then she looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Why didn't Mary understand or recognize Jesus? And why did she mistake him for the gardener? Good question. But we see later on in the scriptures that when the two disciples were walking to Emmaus later that day, that Jesus came alongside and they had this discussion for miles as they were going to Emmaus. And Jesus was explaining to them all of what the scripture says about the Messiah coming and being crucified and rising from the dead. They did not recognize him. So why on this Resurrection Sunday that people that were close to him did not recognize him? That's a question we can ask when we get to heaven and get the answer for, because we don't see it in the scriptures right now. Jesus says to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Interesting final phrase. "Tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus was a man, an adult man. Not sure what his height and weight were. But he was dead weight. And he had been wrapped in 75 pounds of spices. How is this woman going to pick him up and take him away? Show me where Jesus is. Show me where you laid him. And I'm going to get him and take him away. Do you see the power of love here? She didn't believe he rose from the dead. She had a faith crisis. She had lost hope. But she never stopped loving Jesus. It didn't dawn on her, how is I going to lift this person? Where is he? Where do I have to take? It just, show me where he is, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to take him and take care of him. That's real love. Mary Magdalene was one of the seven, was one of the women who ministered to Christ from her substance. We read that Mary had been demon-possessed, that Jesus cast out seven demons. And her gratitude toward her deliverer prompted her to follow him. She was one who stood at the cross, or near the cross. She heard all the mocking and all the pain and suffering. She saw it firsthand, and yet she stayed there until the end. She stayed there until Christ's body, till the sword pierced his side. till Joseph took him down from the cross and laid him in his own tomb. And we see her traveling from her home to the cemetery, to the grave on the first day. Doesn't find Jesus' body, goes back to Jerusalem to where Peter and John are, reports to them that the body is missing, and then she is back in the garden. Remarkable. Love does that. It moves people. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, or it could mean master. Then in verse 17, Jesus says something to her that's quite interesting, and I'm not sure, and there aren't too many other commentators that aren't sure what Jesus meant here when he said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Don't touch me." And yet, 8 days later, when Thomas was having a real problem believing that Christ rose from the dead, Jesus says, "Put your fingers in my hands and in my feet and in my side." So what's going on here? We really don't understand. "I have not yet ascended to the Father." And yet later on in the passage, it says, "Go tell my brothers that I've ascended." Have to wait till we get to heaven and get that explained. One thing for sure is we see that Jesus called Mary by name. When the risen King called her by name, something happened inside of her. Her heart was changed. Everything changed in her life. And she turned to him, "Rabboni." Sheep know the voice of their shepherd when he calls them by name. So Mary recognized her shepherd King and responded to him. Rabboni is a most honorable title. Her faith had died when Jesus died. But when Jesus met her in the garden and called her by name, everything changed. In that moment, Mary experienced her own spiritual resurrection. It was then that she was born again. Have you experienced a spiritual resurrection in your life? Has God called you to Himself? Have you been born again? Easter is not just what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus rose from the dead. We observe this holiday to remind us of our spiritual deadness and the need for a spiritual resurrection that can come only by God's grace in calling us and our response in faith to turn from everything else to Him. Have you experienced a spiritual resurrection? If you have, a new reality has come into your life. A new reality comes to everyone who is truly born again by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and following. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. A new reality. Pastor talked about this at the sunrise service and again in the children's sermon about how everything changes when there's a spiritual resurrection. Everything changes. You think differently. Your affections are different. Your worldview, how you perceive what's going on in the world, changes. And what's interesting here is what Jesus then told Mary. It's interesting what He didn't tell her. He told her to go. Go to my brothers and tell them. Go and announce that you have seen the risen King. Go. He didn't say, let's stay in a garden for a while. And let's rehash the events of Holy Week. Let's just share our pain. Let me tell you what was going through my mind on Palm Sunday. Or how I felt when Judas left me at the Last Supper. Let me tell you what went through my mind when I saw Peter sever the ear of Malchus when I was being arrested. I need to get this off my chest. I need to share this with you, Mary. And Mary, you'll have your time. Share with me your feeling. You were at the cross. You heard the mocking. You heard the conversations that went on between me and that thief on the cross. Tell me, how did you feel about all that? Let's stay for the rest of the morning in the garden next to the empty tomb and talk about the death. He didn't go there. Instead, he moved on. He moved forward. The past is the past. Now we move on. You go and you tell the other disciples who lost their faith, who lost their hope, who are all holed up in an upper room, frightened by what the world can do to them. You go and tell them that I have conquered death. You go and tell them that I'm alive. We're moving on. We're not going back. We're not going back to old Judaism. We're not going back to the events of the 3 years of my life and rehash, oh, remember when my first miracle happened and remember this and remember that. No, we're moving on. You have to tell Mary, you have to tell the church that I'm alive. You have to instill in them the truth, my word, in them, because faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Instill into them the truth of what I'm telling you. And that's how their faith will be generated. Okay, everybody, just stay put. We have a doctor here. We have people trained here.
You all right, Raj?
Let's hear an amen.
Resurrection.
All right. That was not planned, but God knew about it, and He took care of it. The disciples, two of them, were traveling down the road to Emmaus. And Jesus came alongside and He explained the Word of God to them. They went with Him to the first church service after Christ's resurrection. It was that night in Jerusalem. And they were afraid. What's going to happen to us? Our protector is gone. The one who led us is gone. And there are people who can identify us as His followers. What's going to happen? Let's stay in our holy huddle and pray and talk and try to make sense of all this and see what our next steps are. Jesus didn't want any of that. He comes right in. Right into that church service. Peace be with you. Calm down, everybody. And I won't repeat Pastor's sermon. That was really good. Hey, what do you think of my tie? You commented about the little girl's dress. Good tie, all right. He wasn't a ghost. At first, they were startled. They were afraid, huh? But as time went on, He sat down with them. And they regained, I should say, they gained their faith in God, in the resurrected Lord. He's not dead anymore. Come on, we can do this. And what do you think Jesus told them? Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I go with you until the end of the age. You go. Don't go huddled up here in this room. There are sinners that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have come back. I have died and I have come back to prove that God's plan of redemption is real. It's been accomplished. Now it needs to be applied to everyone in the world. Go! And every time there's a change, there's always a transition. Transition is a change occurs. Jesus is alive. And the disciples have to go on and be ambassadors. But a transition occurs with the emotions and the will. The transition is from what we used to be to what God wants us to be. We don't have a problem worshiping in a tomb. We don't have a problem worshiping in a garden. But to go into all the world, this hostile world that hates Christ and hates us, no thank you. Friends, it's not an option. It is a sign of genuine conversion that you will obey the risen King. And when He commissions you to go, you go. and you not just go, but you have a message. Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ has taken care of your sins. Jesus Christ has made you right with God. Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ loves you. And He wants to spend eternity with you. That's the message. Now go and take it. There were probably some disciples that said, I really don't want to do this. My heart's not in it. I don't want to go forward. What's wrong with staying the way we used to be? It was comfortable. We had the routines. We had the traditions. We did this, 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 and this. And it was safe. That's what I want. I want the church as it used to be. And Jesus is saying, I died so the church will be what it's supposed to be in the future. And Jesus not only said that to the church, He said it to individual Christians. You know, sometimes we get so comfortable with our lifestyles and with our sin, we don't want to change. It's too hard. It's too hard to be somebody who has Christ at the center of their lives. It's a lot easier to go the ways of the world. There's no hassle if you just join in with everybody else. But down deep you're thinking, you know, my life is going nowhere. You know, on the surface, I'm all smiles and, hey, how you doing? And happy Easter. And isn't life great? Isn't this wonderful? I have such good friends and, you know, everything's working out. And in the middle of the night, you're awake and you're wondering, is this all there is? This certainly isn't doing it for me. I need a change. But I don't know what that change is. And then you come to church and you hear the gospel being preached and it's, I need a change. I need Christ to take my life and make it into something that pleases Him. And you're saying, I wonder what that is going to cost me. What am I going to have to give up? You know, I like to do this, 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 and this. And I know it's wrong, but I don't want to give it up. How do I make that change? Well, if you try to be different, you're going to fail. If you try to be moral and do the right thing, you're going to fail. I know from personal experience. You try to be different. You try to be better. You try to be perfect. You try to be what everybody wants you to be. You try and you try and you fail and you fail. And after a while, it's, what's the use? I'm just going to live whatever way I want. But you're not happy with that either. You get in a rut. You know, there's a lot of people that are still living in tombs that profess faith in Christ. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I don't do anything. I have tried this and I've failed. So, dead religion. The good news is the one who rose from the dead wants to change you and make you a new creature in Christ and wants you to work through the transition of putting off the evil and putting on the righteous. That's why He's given us the Holy Spirit. He wants us to change and to be people who glorify Him. Glorify Him through the way we worship, according to the Word. Worship Him by being ambassadors of Christ. Making disciples. That's what he wants us to be. Now, I know there are some that resist that. I like my life just the way I do. Do you? Jesus Christ wants to deliver you from your tomb. He wants to deliver churches from their tombs. Huddled in the upper room, afraid of what the world can do. Jesus comes in. Calm down. Peace be with you. Here's what we're going to do. We're moving out. We're moving forward. And we're doing this in obedience to God's will. We're going to be ambassadors. Not to give our own versions of happiness and salvation, but to give the message of the King. It's His message of salvation. Our job is just to communicate it. And it's everybody else's job to believe in it. Jesus is the risen King. He has come back, putting to death sin and giving new life to all who believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Down deep, do you trust Him with your future? Or are you trusting in other things to make your life better? Hoping, well, maybe this new job, that's the key. Maybe a further degree, that's going to open the door for better salary. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. There's only one who can give true life. Jesus Christ. And I invite you this day, right where you are, to ask the Lord for His grace to call you like He called Mary Magdalene and transform your heart so that you're a different person and are willing to leave here and go into the world as an ambassador of Christ and bring the good news that Jesus Christ is alive to everybody you meet. Let's pray.